Pretty sure it was Patty. It's been a super long
time. It really has been.
Yeah. Salsa?
Yeah.
What you doing?
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos Nothing podcast.
Are you fucking kidding me? With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna, and special guest.
Hi there. My name's Dave Rand McKay.
Wow. He got super radio on us.
He did.
He's also the winner of the
Woo!
Die
he's
Laughing.
He's the wiener.
Yeah.
That too. There's that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's been scheduling upon whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But here he is.
Well, thankfully, none of us are busy ever.
Fuck. Yeah.
We have drinks.
We do have drinks. Right here in front of us.
What are we drinking tonight?
Dr. Tiki!
Yeah, yep. That happened.
That's what we do.
You'll catch the train next time. That's all right, Dave.
Or you could just let it go by.
Choo-choo.
I mean,
nope.
There is that.
We're drinking Dr.
Yes, we are.
We are.
Yeah.
Dr. Tiki.
Going to a classic because I was making one of these, or at least handing the ingredients for one of these to Jenna, and Dave went, "What's a Dr. Tiki?"
Dr. Tiki.
Yes, and you thought that they were going to bewitch me with the chant, but it's actually a beverage. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's
a beverage. How do you feel about this beverage?
It is zesty. It's quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Full of moxie.
Moxie.
No, we use a different beverage.
Son of a bitch.
we play it. We distill it to the strains of Moxie Fruvus.
I don't understand.
Moxie Fruvus is my backup stage name.
No, Moxie Fruvus is a band. Never mind.
I don't understand.
All right.
You're sounding pretty quiet there, Salsa.
Yeah.
You have a weekend of shoving shit down your throat.
Oh.
Yeah.
He also worked out at Fest.
Yeah.
In the dust.
It was a 3-day weekend. Count them 3 days.
Yeah.
Because we had Labor Day. And what does Labor Day mean? Work.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, if you're a festie or you work in a call center.
I have to start with this. End of my day yesterday, I went over to Joe's house. And Joe had laid out for me some clean pajamas and a towel. And I took a shower and I put on the pajamas. And he had ordered food and it arrived just about the same time my shower was done.
Fuck.
And so then I get out of the shower and I put on clean clothes and I had food. And we watched Stranger Things. I'm just in his season 2 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And he rubbed my feet.
How'd you get him, girl?
I'm pretty sure I called him a Chinaman repeatedly in a vaguely racist yet hilarious way. And he then decided he wanted to date me. I think I may have called him like slant eyes or some other things.
You know, that's exactly how I got Heather.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When she's saying vaguely racist things to you and you were like, man, I gotta have her.
Gotta have her.
Because that's how I got me at Joe Ye.
Yo.
This podcast does not endorse this method of flirting.
No.
Or really any of the last 30 or...
I gotta say...
5,000 minutes.
Right. 525...
This podcast is not this podcast does not endorse the last 9 years of the podcast.
This podcast does not endorse the wooing of Joe Ye.
Also that.
Oh, buddy.
Well, I think it's you two knew each other before, and you knew that he finds that hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't just randomly start doing that to a stranger.
No.
It was an acquaintance, friend, passerby, like other side of the social circle type situation. That I had previously had exchanges with where he called me honky and possibly white bread or cracker.
Right.
And I returned in kind.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel as though as long as the minority's starting it, that's an invitation to play circumstantially. It might just be a Joe Ye thing.
This podcast does not endorse any film.
This podcast does not endorse the relationship of Jenna Young.
No, I super do. Like, I don't know. Like, listening to you describe what he did for you charmed me.
I know.
Like, I was romanced.
Oh, and my calves. He rubbed my calves, too.
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, God,
is he loanable? Can I rent?
What a nice guy.
He's honestly, as far as massage go, because he uses his hands a lot for, like, piano and things like that, he's got very good, quick fingers. But, but he's not used to...
on your fucking face.
But he's not used to a lot of pressure, so he has to go in, like, tiny spurts.
Boy, there's a lot of material here.
Some coming and going.
I'm overwhelmed,
But yeah, he is, however, an absolute cuddle whore and just an absolute pro at that. If you ever need a hell of a good cuddle, may I recommend the services of Joseph Ye. Buddy. Also, he cuddled me. Anyway. Because we had a 3-day weekend.
Yeah. So I guess what we're saying is context is super fucking important.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
Yes. If the Fast Five teaches us anything, yes, it fucking is.
Yeah. If the Fast Five teaches us anything, it's that we can just make anything apply.
I'm deeply concerned about the lessons that you take away from shit like that. But I guess it's led you to be who you are today.
Yeah. I draw some interesting conclusions.
Oh my God.
Such as, well, I guess I need to swallow that now.
I had a date like that once.
Twice in a row. Fuck.
Yes.
Yep.
All right.
Story of my day job.
Yeah. I thought your day job. Never mind. So anyway.
That too.
Okay.
It's during the weekdays.
Well, that got awkward.
Anyway. So basically what we're saying is Labor Day, the day in which, you know, we celebrate that we have 40-hour work weeks and paid overtime, is the day that we work an extra 10-hour day at festival.
Yep.
For little to no pay.
I will say, can you think of anything else I would be doing, though?
No.
Hey, I have a free day. What am I going to do with it? Work.
Yeah.
Drinking and masturbating at home.
I went up to Duluth.
Why not both?
Oh, yay. How was that for you?
Oh, it was wonderful. Wonderful. Went all the way up to Grand Portage, actually.
Damn.
I was going to ask you where you got that spectacular t-shirt. Will you point it at the microphone so the audience can get a look?
There you go, audience.
I mean, it is very colorful.
It's of Superior. Glen Sheen Mansion is at the nipple.
Okay.
And then
of Lake Superior.
Of Lake Superior. Also of...
And that's a little further north than... Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But it was wonderful. I was doing some research. I have a Minnesota geography class this semester, and so there's a lot of fuzzy areas in my knowledge. Well, fuzzy areas. The fur trade, which was a whole bunch of early...
That's definitely a fuzzy
development.
Area.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah. So I did a lot of research on the fur trade, which it's more interesting than it sounds, but just a little.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Well, good.
Yeah. Actually, I grew up doing
her own fur trade.
Think of it. Well, no, that was later.
She grew up doing fur trade.
It starts with an R. It's a French word. It was when indigenous peoples and
Renaissance festival.
No, I mean I did grow up doing that.
I knew.
It has to do with reenactment. Reenactment of the fur trade era. Rendezvous. Boom.
Oh.
There it is.
Where were you doing those at?
Various places. I remember Big Island has a rendezvous thing that happens.
Of Hawaii?
New. After, like, it's like the weekend after fest.
No,
usually.
They're the guys who sang on a boat and dick in a box.
Jesus fuck. I didn't want
no,
to.
No, you're thinking of
that.
Lonely Island.
Oh.
No.
The Big Island is the casino.
No, Lonely Island is when I go drinking and masturbating by myself.
Oh.
Ow! So what you would have been doing Labor Day.
Exactly.
Okay.
See?
I mean, I assume he also did that, but...
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's got to have a hobby.
That's true.
Okay. So anyway, I wanted to be able to steer into what we've been doing, but
sure.
I mean, no.
Well,
no.
But yeah, there was tons of historical reenactors that I visited, and speaking of historical reenactments, what do you guys do this weekend?
Well, not historical reenactments.
I was going to ask you about your trip to Duluth.
Nothing,
we can always cover that.
Oh, sure.
Nothing even close to historical.
Ooh,
in the same day, I had a conversation with the Three Musketeers and Robin Hood. So that's what I did over the weekend.
Right.
Yeah, not historical.
Well, up in Grand Portage, they have a whole village, early trading village.
Cool.
Yeah, it is. It's very elaborate, and there's also connected to it is an indigenous village, and they're side by side. Very authentic reenactments. There's at least a dozen people there who...
Yeah, it's like the rendezvous version of Fort Snelling.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'd recommend the drive up there to check it out sometime.
Yeah, that sounds worthwhile.
Pine City, which is much more, easy to get to, they have a smaller one, but about three-ish people who are, and there's a littler fort and a littler indigenous. And
also, just in Canada, there's Old Fort William.
Oh, I haven't been there.
Yeah, you want to check that out, although I hear borders are tricksy nowadays, so...
Well, yeah, Thunder Bay.
Yeah,
we stopped at the border. Heather had brought her passport. I bring mine with me everywhere I go, but she did not. So,
that's what James said.
What a lovely singing voice you must have.
Indeed.
Actually, it's pretty acceptable. It's about the highest compliment I'm going to give him.
I have fest voice today too. Yeah. So I'm sure that's helping.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. We have 3-day fest voice today.
Oh, did I tell you I took the day off of work today, too?
Nice.
So I had that lovely evening, and then...
Real good idea.
Yeah. Didn't work today.
I worked, but I didn't really work.
Yeah.
I was there for the morning, but then when my daughter got off the bus after her first day of first grade...
Le gasp.
Took her to the hospital because she's had some weird bumps and around her face and jaw and some canker sores and she has hand, foot, and mouth. So I half of my day was like not working. So
yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah.
But my little girl is in first grade. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
She wasn't born when this fucking podcast started, and now she's in first grade.
Sucker. Wow.
Shows how long I've been on this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
A lot of wiles.
You're old school.
A lot of wiles. Yeah, I was podcasting before it was cool.
I mean,
it's still not cool because we're doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So technically, I'm still doing it before.
Then technically we all are.
See? Yeah.
All right.
So I'm not wrong.
We get hipster cred. I'm going with it. Because I'm not drinking PBRs, so this is about as close as I'm getting.
That's true.
Okay.
So, aside from seeing fur trade historical things, what else did you do in Duluth?
Did you stay at the Voyager Hotel?
No.
Okay.
No,
they stayed at the Voyager Hotel. It's much cheaper, but...
Actually, the Voyager's
tawdry
cheap.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's see, Glensheen Mansion?
Yes.
Yeah.
Love it.
Got the extended tour to check out the extra secret rooms of the murder family.
Secret room.
Yeah. Did you guys? Did you? You went up there? Right?
Yeah, we did the Glensheen tour in April.
I've never been.
We did not pay for the extended tour.
All right. Did they? But. Do you know the whole murder history stuff or no?
No, they didn't. Oh man.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, there was.
I just took pictures of furniture. That was about the excitement.
Jenna got away.
She got away.
Damn.
Part of the reason that the place is owned by the University of Minnesota Duluth is because when the last heir of the fortune was living there with a caretaker, and they're both murdered. And long story short, there was another daughter who was adopted who seemed to be kind of cut out of it, and she wanted to get that inheritance, and she basically got away with it. You know, they didn't have enough evidence specifically linking her to it. She was eventually arrested and put in jail a number of years later for a series of other crimes, mostly arsons, where she set fire to houses of people she didn't like. Yeah, interesting little, that's a summary in a nutshell. Wow. But mostly a lot of historical stuff, not just for trade, but like the mansion, the whole old mining industrial heyday. What the heck else did I do? And then just a lot of sitting around and...
Did you go to the train depot?
No, I didn't. Oh. That was pretty cool.
That's a good time.
I almost did, but we were too short on time. We were
I understand it.
Everything, driving from thing to thing took a lot more time than we had originally kind of planned out.
Right. That's fair.
That is fair.
Yes, plus we're lazy.
That's so.
That is also super fair.
That is extra fair. Yeah,
I will support that's max of effort, and longtime listeners of this podcast will know that means it's unacceptable.
I mean, it's Labor Day, so I was like, you know what? I need more sitting around time.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I've done enough. Yeah.
Haven't I?
Yeah.
All right.
So,
Let's see.
There's that.
There's that. Let's see. Got home to find out. Let's see. We're going to court against that Nazi guy. Did I tell you guys about this?
Hey.
Nazi guy? What?
I'm excited to hear about this.
I mean... Uh-uh. Probably can't say too much more about it.
Maybe not. Well, who cares?
I would not, just in case.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's probably a good
idea. I would withhold that one until afterwards. I've been under legal advisement before.
Okay.
That is...
Yeah.
Incredibly good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So maybe we'll hold off on that for now, and then...
All right. Well,
that just means
we'll have to
have you back on after the case.
Wow. It's true.
Actually, the court date is my birthday, September 17th, so...
happy birthday!
Happy birthday.
I will say one quick thing. Heather did manage to get his Facebook page taken down, just kind of as a fun thing she just wanted to do. Because he had a bunch of... apparently online, Facebook has a number of things to kind of make it so you can't say hate speech. But she found out that he had done a number of things to get around that, which is if you put extra letters within, like, the N-word and things like that, then you could still make these posts if you do dashes and different little clever things.
That the automated
things
won't pick it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if people specifically report posts, they will be examined, and there you go. Bada boom, bada bing.
Beautiful.
Oh.
Well done. Golf claps all around. You guys know what that sounds like?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like sounds like a golf clap.
Okay.
I mean, you three were masturbating loudly into the microphones to make the golf clap sound, right?
Yeah, weren't you?
I had my eyes closed.
Oh, okay.
I can't do that in front of you.
That's why I had my back turned. Jeez, are you some kind of pervert?
No, I had my eyes closed.
Yeah.
No, he's a voyager.
Fur trade.
Excellent. All right.
Yes.
Wrapping them back around like asteroids. All right. Mm-hmm. So this weekend at Fest was the fencing tournament, where in previous years we have had a merged tournament. It was before that. It was knights and squires. Squires being the sort of general entry, novice tournament, and then knights being the more experienced level. For example, you could compete your way out of squires to the point where you were no longer allowed to be in squires by winning. Same thing happened this year, now that they are, again, divided. We had incredible participation.
Yeah.
And super fun doing it. Jenna and I both competed.
And we fought each other. And, listeners, do you remember a few years back when we competed and fought each other and I won? That didn't happen this time.
Nope.
Mr. Fairbairn took that particular match.
Mm-hmm.
Barely.
It's true. It's true. It was 2-1 instead of 2-0.
Yeah, it was super intense.
That was
a fucking intense.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
Well, and that was the other thing, is that competing in knights for the first time is terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Because in squires, you're like, okay, well, a few of these people have never competed before, or they have very little experience. At the very least, you know, I've got a good shot, you know? And then when you're facing somebody who's experienced with swords, like Jenna, then you can take your time to panic. but if you're fighting in knights, fucking
everybody's
match
good
is like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that was a super fucking nerve-wracking tournament.
Yeah, it was.
But
I hear you did very well, James.
I did.
I heard you sucked.
I also did that, but that was afterward. So there's that.
How well did you do, James?
I really
want to make you say it.
I was third. And it was extremely exciting to walk into the ring knowing that even if I lost that match, I was still in the top three.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just barely lost both of the matches that knocked me out. 2-1. So,
yeah.
And I lost them to the first and second place competitors. So I feel all right about it.
Yeah.
holy shit. That was heart pounding, though.
Mm-hmm.
And the night before that, when we were doing the Squires tournament, I was a ringmaster for that event for the first time. Because, again, it's my first year not being in Squires. And so I was available to assist. And it is an honor to get to officiate in an event like that.
Like marry people?
Like that.
Okay.
I mean, the prior year, almost.
Fair.
Yeah. And then also during the Squires tournament, we roasted our good friend Rue Rose.
Yeah,
we
did.
Who has achieved 30 years out at Fest at that booth, I believe.
Roasted the fuck out of him.
And holy shit.
So many jokes about tree climbing.
That was so the many. Theme of the evening.
That was.
Yeah. But it was a lovely event. But having done ringmastering all three mornings, having done dad jokes all three afternoons, and then doing tournament twice.
Oh my God, yeah.
Has wiped me the fuck out, but most especially my voice.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah. I did tourney. And I came in sixth.
Nice.
Out
of 18.
I thought it was 20.
The first night was 22. Oh, they did pick up extra people.
Yeah,
didn't
they did.
Oh.
Yeah, I looked at the list and there were 20 places.
I totally fucking forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah. There
so
were
it was
late
out
entries.
Of 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
Out of 20. Six.
I believe.
Is
yeah.
Even better out of
yeah
20. Holy shit.
Yeah. So I came in sixth. The person in fourth place beat me once, and the person in third place beat me once. So, you know, that was
nice.
Cool. But the person in fourth place I also beat earlier in the evening.
That is true.
So I can still feel pretty good about that, I think.
I believe so.
Because I know I can take them both.
Accurate.
I've done it before and I'll do it again.
You had a date like that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Twice
and I have about a million amazing anecdotes I could tell, but I'm going to tell this one quick. There was a particular individual who had won the Squires.
Yes.
That then moved over into the Knights the following evening.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say Knights the following night, but that sounded weird. It moved over to Knights the following evening.
Mm-hmm.
And came in fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And everybody, like, the top five people were all super tall people.
Were they, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hmm.
No. Yeah, even your height tall.
Your height and taller.
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't like them, then.
That's fair.
I don't trust any animal bigger than me.
Allow me to say this, then. You know Talon, right?
Oh, yeah.
Talon came in second.
Hmm.
Yes.
And the person that came in first, I believe, is slightly taller than Talon.
Hmm.
Yep. At some point during my match, I like tried a little hop, and I was like, you're too fucking tall.
So anyway, yeah, the five people that placed ahead of me are all fairly tall individuals.
Mm-hmm. Who are the five, or the top other people, I guess?
I don't know if you'd know the other people. So.
Your listeners might.
Oh, they might.
Yeah. First place was Alan.
Mm-hmm. Longtime Boothie.
Last name? I don't remember.
It's not Wells, is it?
Weeks?
Weeks is what I was
Yes, thinking. Thank you. Alan. Second place was Talon.
Mm-hmm.
Third place was that asshole.
That's correct.
Fourth place was Splat.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth place was, I'm just going to say Banana.
Yeah.
Yeah, Banana. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then me. And I think Banana is the shortest of that group.
He's about my height. He might even be a little taller than me.
Maybe. Here's
he's
the
a little
comment,
more slight.
Though. Here's the anecdote I'm trying to get to before we run out of all of the time. But,
sure.
He's standing there with, I believe it was you and, Alan and Splat. And, like, it's just all these tall people and me. And he's like, yeah, I mean, I was trying to get you, but you were just too tall. It's really hard fighting tall people. And I'm like, oh, really? What is that like? Please tell me.
Please tall-splain this to me.
Yes. And also I found out I'm intimidating, so that was also cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, just having somebody that was over a foot taller than me complain about having to fight people that were taller than him, I couldn't even.
Yeah?
Hmm. Yeah. So... It's hard to fight tall people.
It is.
It really is.
Yeah.
It hella is.
The difference is, we're not used to it.
There is that. Well, there's the other thing. When two lefties are fighting each other, which
fuck.
Happened to you.
Yes.
That was
my
hilarious.
Last fight.
Yep. Two lefties enter the ring.
Right.
And I'm just watching them both, like, pointing, like, taking a guard stance and being like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What do I do?
Yeah. Like... Well, and first and second place are both so fucking patient,
mm-hmm.
and their guard is really good.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they have weaknesses. Maybe they're flatulent or something. I don't know. But
and that weakness was Alan Weeks.
Alan Weeks.
Yes. I mean, so
that's the only thing weak about Alan is his last name.
The thing is, in order to take first place, because Alan had been knocked into the loser's bracket early on,
mm-hmm.
He had to fight his way out of the loser's bracket, including winning against second place twice, one bout immediately following the other.
Yeah.
For those who aren't familiar with the structure. So he really fucking mm-hmm. deserved first place.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
It was an absolutely stunning match.
Yeah, it was.
The funny thing is I forgot Alan was with the fencing booth at all.
Well, because he's doing tech now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's doing sound for us now.
And has received your shout-out.
Yeah. Last week he was my shout out.
Yeah.
For doing
yeah.
sound.
Well,
you know, but
it did him some good.
But I.
All right, Salsa, next year you need to give me a shout out right before tourney.
But I forgot why I knew Alan.
Oh,
you know, you know, after a while, you kind of forget where you met someone.
Yeah, I forgot that we worked together.
Exactly. You just I've always known this person, I mean, and you kind of forget how you know that person. I forgot Alan was at the fencing booth for all those years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I legitimately forgot. He was just, oh, Alan is doing sound stuff, and he's, you know, the husband to the Fondazzi fiddler and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then they were like, oh, Alan's in the Knights tournament. I was like, he's what? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yup. So, yeah. So, anyway, many more anecdotes, but that was, in a nutshell, tourney.
Yes.
And tourney excitement.
Very much so.
Salsa, anything exciting happened to you over the weekend?
I stuck a lot of shit down my throat.
Yeah. All right.
I stuck a fucking lot of shit down my throat.
Maybe not shit.
Do you want the numbers?
Try swords.
Well, I mean, it turned in.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
All right, here's the numbers.
Yeah, don't bang on the bar.
Or you can stop. That works, too.
Or we can start doing it again.
Or you can stop doing that.
We're trying to buy time with drum rolls.
This is our life now.
I mean, you don't really need to. It's all good.
Okay.
Minnesota Renaissance Festival, weekend 3, by the numbers. 70 objects swallowed.
Jesus fuck.
30 arrows, 4 size, 5 pool cues, 9 screwdrivers, 15 short swords, 1 katana, 6 funnels with water poured down the funnel into the stomach, 9 mousetraps snapped on the tongue, 18 fireballs, 9 while standing and 9 while laying on a bed of deck screws, and many torches eaten.
Yeah.
Plus, I got to run around in a body puppet.
Yes!
Yeah!
I heard.
That was my weekend.
Yeah, how was the body puppet for you?
That was shit. That was fucking amazing. Jesus Christ. That is something that I have wanted to do for years.
Which puppet did you do again?
Willie the Pirate.
That's fucking awesome.
I've wanted to body puppet for over a decade now, but especially when I was with Fondazzi, my schedule just never allowed for that sort of thing.
Right.
Because Fondazzi would do opening gate, and then Fondazzi would do 5 shows, which is intense.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got the Uber show at the end of the day, and sometimes we would do special events, and then we were doing closing gate, and we were fucking busy.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's never been something I've been able to do. And now, with the schedule I have this year with Casimir, I have some time in the morning and some time in the afternoon where I can do that.
I want to go be a puppet with you.
And so I, you know, talked to Bree, and Bree got me into Willie, and I ran around closing gate on Saturday, and it was a good time. I was a very drunk Willie.
I had a date like that once.
I staggered around asking everyone if they had seen my ship.
Ooh.
Because I swear I had parked it right here. And all I did was go to the pub for just 1 or 2 days, and my ship disappeared. And I swear I left it right here. Did you take my ship? Who would steal something? What kind of person would take something? That's piracy. Wait, hold on. Besides, look, that's not even actually my ship, okay? I'm leasing it right now. I still have a lot of payments on it to go, and I kind of need to get that back, or my warranty's going to go on it, because I'm still actually on my own. I'm on my learner's permit, okay? I'm not a fully-fledged pirate yet.
Jesus Christ.
I'm on my learner's permit, and I really can't have any marks against me, otherwise I won't get my full license. Okay, I don't have my permit. I just read some books, okay? I read a couple chapters. That's what I'm saying. Okay, so I read some chapters of the book.
Yeah, and exactly. Worse. That's amazing.
Oh, my God.
And so it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun doing that.
Hell yeah.
I was out there for about 45 minutes.
Holy shit. Yeah. On your first run?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, man.
They had to. The only reason I stopped is because cannon went off.
fuck.
No, I was having a fucking grand time. I was out there.
Was it hot in there?
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
God, yes. It's,
you sweat like a motherfucker.
And like the weight of the puppet is amplified by leverage, and it's
And the rig digs into your back.
Yeah. And it's exhausting.
There was there was one moment where like the royalty went by, and so I bowed down, and like the shirt fell away from my face.
Yeah.
And I went, oh my God, I can breathe. Oh.
Yep.
And so I like bowed for a little longer than I probably needed to before I stood back up, because you've got that mesh screen in front of your face, and so every time you breathe, you just have this hot, moist air and puffing back on your face, and so you're sweaty and you're hot and you're uncomfortable. But God, I was having so much fucking fun.
Kyle once Dutch puppeted himself.
Oof.
Sounds like Kyle. Sounds
yeah. I mean, well, he went to Buzz Royalty and a couple of patrons and, crop dust them. And he forgot that he was in a vertical tube with one exit at the top directly in front of his face. So I saw him just like go pell-mell running off, arms akimbo, and went racing after him because I was the handler. And then he put on the brakes, cartoonishly stopped and turned. And I was like, are you okay? Is everything okay? He's like, yes. But I farted in here, and there's only one way out. So now, occasionally, he'll look at me and say, I'm glad I'm not in a puppet.
Yeah.
And I'll know that it is time to leave.
Right.
Immediately.
The Tri-County area.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this tired throat comes on us, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did feel kind of bad. Because I freaked out the queen a little bit.
What did you do?
Seems right.
I wanted to let Emily know who I was.
Uh-huh.
So that she would, know... She could interact with me and kind of know what to expect.
Levels.
Exactly. She knew what to expect. Because it's... I mean, when you see a body puppet coming at you as a performer, you're like, I can interact with them. But if you know who's in there, you can kind of... It's more comfortable.
Right,
you
right.
You know what to expect.
Well, like Anna Levine, for example, is terrified of the puppets unless she knows who's inside it.
Right, but...
So there is a huge difference.
You know somebody, you've performed with somebody a long time. You kind of know the direction. You know their sense of humor. You know the direction they kind of go. You know how far you can push things. You understand, if this is going to be a casual hello or if you're actually going to make a scene out of something. So
yeah.
I was trying to kind of like... let her know that it was me.
Yeah.
But in that moment of trying to let her know, I forgot that I had a big head towering 3 feet above me.
Yeah.
And so, like, she turned around and was, like, leaning away and was like, hi, Willie. And I was like, oh, I'm being weird. I'm abort. Just abort.
Just yep.
Back it the fuck away because I'm being that guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I apologized to her. I apologized to her later. And I was like, I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to freak out. She's like, oh, no.
First day in a puppet.
No, she was like, yep. I understand. You've got those people that are... She was like, I was actually trying to figure out who it was.
Mm.
But I didn't recognize the pants. Because I'm not used to seeing me in a body puppet, obviously.
Yeah.
Right.
But she was like, because you get sometimes people are like, oh, I totally know the queen, and it's like, no, you don't, dude. And I was like, yeah, I know. And I was coming across as that guy, and I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was cool. But that.
When in doubt, grovel. The royalty will let you know your place.
Yeah. Exactly.
There is always that.
Yeah.
So yeah. 10 out of 10 would do again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I had a lot of anxiety about it, even though I really wanted to do it. I had a lot of anxiety.
Sure.
But the moment I stepped out on the street as Willie, there was this moment, like, it suddenly in my brain just went, you are completely anonymous and have carte blanche.
Yep.
And you can do whatever the fuck you want.
See, I've enjoyed being in a puppet, but that, I haven't had that moment yet.
Oh, it was an instant click for me.
I think it depends on the puppet. I haven't done a puppet in like 10
so that
fucking
I can figure
years.
It out.
So I've done the hag.
Okay.
Don't. Just don't. I was challenged to try to make the hag be a workable puppet and the answer is no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough. I made a child cry. Just by existing. So yeah. don't ever hag. And then I got to do the queen once.
Mm-hmm.
Queen bee.
Yep, queen bee. She was a little sassy under me, not gonna lie. Surprise! And that was fun. That was fun and delightful and kind of re-up that. But I have an idea.
Yeah.
At some point during this run,
yes,
the three of us need to do an AON takeover.
Oh, fuck yes.
We put James in the night.
I've done puppeting as Sir Philip before.
I think James in the night put me in Sparkles.
Okay.
The wizard.
Yeah. I mean, I would do Queen Bee again. I could do Shirley. You
could do Shirley.
But I have a hard time because I know how well Bree does Shirley. Yeah, and I'm just like, I can't.
Bree and Will.
And I would continue to try to live up to that and fail.
Shirley is at
so
this point.
I really, really don't want. Yeah. I could
Will
do it.
Will visited this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, I know.
He got,
Shirley.
He got out of the puppet when I was getting.
Oh, there. Sure. Mm-hmm. So he mooned
Gave
you too.
Him a big hug.
Oh, good.
But yeah, no, I think James in the night.
Okay.
Me in either Willie or Sparkles.
Yeah.
And then you in, well, maybe if I did Willie, you did Sparkles.
Could do that.
Or the other way around, even.
I would even go out as Queen Bee or as Sparkles. I haven't tried either of those. I haven't tried King Bubba. Huh.
I think this is a thing that we can
I've only ever been Willie and Philip.
We'll talk to Bree.
Yeah. We'll talk to Bree.
Something we'll have ideas.
Actually, we'll talk to Dan, who's actually in charge of the puppets. But
speaking of Dan and puppets, puppets fought during the Knights tournament.
They did.
Yes.
Which was
I saw the video.
It was a motherfucking spectacle. And it was incredible and I am so grateful to them. Fuck, that was good.
Yeah, it was real good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put the balloons on their hands.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't fit on their head.
Yeah.
I played volley club in Willie.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
My God.
That was great.
That's delightful.
I got a club to Willie's head, and then I accused the guy who threw it of being a bully, and I stormed away.
That seems
that's appropriate.
Perfect, yeah.
Should we take a break?
Yeah.
Yes, I think we better have.
Let's do that. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
It's like the work of Andy Kaufman just disintegrating. What's the word I'm looking for? Deconstructed Andy Kaufman art.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Postructive. All right. Okay.
And we're back. I'm Saul.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
I'm still Dave.
Yay!
That's for the best.
We prefer you that way.
We're glad you're still here because now we're going to still talk to you.
No.
We might talk to you more.
Hey.
Sucker!
We might even do it.
Yeah, the whole point of having a guest is so that we can take it easy.
Yeah.
I don't know what you thought was going on.
So, get to work.
Okay.
Tell us about yourself.
Tell us about your interesting projects. Your many and
projects,
several.
Future or past?
Anything.
Yes.
Anything.
Future would be best because people can come and see them.
Actually, let's start with how do we know you?
How do you know
Biblically.
Me? Biblically.
Whoa.
I assume first through Fearless hijinks.
Yeah. I think, was it Fearless or Ville?
I mean, I went to Ville and, like, Renfest and stuff for many years, but I was very much a wallflower for a long time, just kind of, like, in the background of things.
Yeah, you do tend to blend in wherever you go.
Yeah.
Well, a little less. Like
Dave's super tall, you guys. And that was a visual
blonde.
Joke.
Are you tall-splaining now?
On an audio podcast. Damn.
Yeah. He basically looks like Flash Gordon, but maybe a little taller.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's
a little more toned.
That's accurate, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Yep, I'm guessing probably
I'm thinking Fearless.
Fearless, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Fearless.
Yeah,
yeah,
there
I first
was,
met you through improv.
Yeah, open improv, which it's too bad that doesn't go anywhere, but that was fun.
It is.
That was a thing, listeners.
If only somebody who enjoyed it wanted to put that together.
Hmm. Well, I am finishing my final class at County Sports this fall, and we'll be out of classes Ooh. Of everywhere.
You're out of class.
I'm out of class.
Also
all of
that.
Class.
Yeah.
But yeah, Fearless stuff, and then Vill much later, once I got the nerve up. But yeah.
Oh my god, I heard you had a couple of incredible coaches.
I heard they were assholes.
Well, you probably heard that from
Porcaino Los Dos.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe Dave was the one who was like, oh, they fucking suck.
Well, yeah. I told you that she sucked, and I told her that you sucked, and I did not realize we'd all be in a room together at some juncture, which was not well planned out on my
really
part.
Really myopic of you.
But, you know, I don't plan
it. That's okay. We thought you were going to fail out, too.
You know, that makes three of us. There you go.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. That was well done.
I did okay. Well, peaked too soon. Oh, well.
When did that happen?
When was that?
It must have been before we were friends, but
yeah, you joined 2 years ago, yeah?
For Vill? Yes, that
yes.
sounds
And for Fearless,
right.
It was 4 years ago?
I feel like it was either late 2015 or early 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like
right.
my 4 years question mark was appropriate then.
Yeah.
4 years ago?
4 years with a question mark audibly attached to the end.
Mm. Yeah, kind of emerged on things 2015, went through a big kind of life reboot.
Did you turn it off and on again?
I actually did, yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, I got divorced, so that's very much
that's
category.
Personal. Yeah.
But, oh man, have I done a lot of Fearless stuff now, which is...
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Holy crap. Well, no way I could summarize all the stuff that I've been doing. How would I? Let's go forward and then we'll go back. Going forward, I'm doing Fearless Action Movie the Play.
What?
Yeah.
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 And this is a play about a character who's writing an action movie, and it's like a Michael Bay kind of a typical action movie, and they have writer's block. And they're visited by the muses of different kind of... like action movie
producers, directors,
tropes.
All right.
I would say tropes.
Okay.
So like there is a person who is cast as the muse of action movie stunts.
Ooh.
Oh, I want to be that one.
Well, we're all gone. I was cast as the muse of the action movie protagonist.
Oh.
That seems fucking
I can see that.
Right.
Yep.
Like Flash Gordon.
But taller,
yeah. That's the next thing I got. Yeah, I think so. Other than regular Vill stuff, yeah.
Get tired of being cast as tall, handsome people. Is that just great on you after a while?
It's better than not being cast.
Oh,
that's fair.
That's true.
That's a good call.
It's actually part of what went down in 2014, 2015. I was kind of like, you know, I should lean into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went into trying to get fit. My hair was mostly gray at the time, so I started dyeing it blonde. Yes, this is dyed.
I had no idea.
It's grown out a bit on this.
I also did not know.
Yeah, it's mostly gray because I'm quite elderly now. Yeah. Mm.
You do not look elderly.
Well, thank you.
But he did have to park his walker in the entryway, too.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it was a Star Wars walker, so it was pretty fucking awesome.
It was
awesome.
Pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that damage.
It's okay.
Worth it.
Yes.
I mean, and you had no other choice, so.
It's
right.
Yeah.
Imperial walker.
I mean, if you're really upset about it, he'll just use the walker some more.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've been very much... I was serious when I was like, rather not being cast. Like, I've been gone for a lot of different things. The last thing I was in Fringe, which with my wife Heather wrote, and I played all the jerks basically in this show, about four different characters.
Mm-hmm.
But you also got to play yourself.
Yeah, well,
like you said.
Okay, but you playing yourself was the nicest of the jerks.
This is true. This is very true.
Yeah.
I mean,
it seems like an
kind of a low bar.
I mean, it wasn't a truthful as far as that goes. But
have you considered getting business cards that just say the nicest of jerks?
The nicest of jerks. That sounds like I mean, sex workers.
Have you considered getting business cards that say Flash Gordon, but taller?
Ooh, but tall. Oh, there we go.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like it too. The thing before that, what would Crazy Horse do? Which was a wonderfully fun production. It was, you know, so the story is of. Well, let me back up a little bit. So this is produced. And directed and written, and half of the actors were of Native American origin, and it's a story of, if you've seen Black Klansman, maybe, it's like a Native American version of that, kind of, in a way. And they needed a character who was going to be a Klan thug, who would be physically intimidating to the other cast members, basically. And so... Yeah. Directly reached out to me. It's like, hey, that's great.
How does it feel to be cast as a Klan thug?
You know, that was some of the most difficult dialogue I've ever had to do.
Oh, I believe that.
Especially at Mixed Blood. So, you know, like, everyone, including, like tech and people doing the lightings and everyone who's there, are, like, people of color. And I have, like, all of the worst things you can imagine saying was my dialogue. You know, and it's like, okay. And
that
so,
sounds hard.
It was. It was very difficult. And myself and Retta, who was the other Caucasian, she was the Klan leader character, and we had a lot of hugs after each show, and just like, oh, we're good people. We're not.
White people comforting each other about their racism.
Jesus Christ.
That's who we just patted ourselves on our backs. Well, and
for some of us, it doesn't bring romance. So,
God.
Jesus. Yeah. That was stressful. But it's been kind of nonstop stuff. I honestly kind of lose track of all the different things. The last thing I could think of, although I'm sure there's other stuff, but Fearless Five Noir, which was a wonderful fun thing, and hectic and crazy, and insane directors. No, James, not paying attention. All right.
Yeah, I
am.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't direct you.
No.
So I refused to take part in that.
Kyle directed
particular
me.
Particular comment.
And so that's. I mean, he's insane.
Yeah.
But in a way that I can work with.
I thought he was speaking specifically about noir.
I mean, also that.
Yeah, and you. But that's okay. I mean, let's see. Jenna did direct me in some action in Klingon Christmas Carol. Mm.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Which was
That wasn't direction, like a director.
Oh, I suppose.
That was fight direction.
That's true.
So it's
felt
a different
directory.
I'm kind of yelly, so no, you go here. Do this thing. Do it better. All right, cool. Fix it in post.
But that was again cast height based. I guess Fearless Five I wasn't cast height based. So.
No, Fearless Five, you were cast availability based.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you were cast based on your availability, and also because you are known as somebody who can pick up a role super quickly and engage with it fully. So in emergency situations, regardless of the height of the character, you are one of, I think, a short list of people who are great for the job.
Tallest person on the short list. There's your business card.
There you go.
And we were together in that sketch comedy thing, Rough Draft.
Which was also good. I slugged you.
I mean,
was
it
choreographed?
Vaguely choreographed. Yes, we did have someone who was, if I remember correctly, Bryn was with us for that, or somebody was with us for that, who had taken
Allison?
Who was it? Oh, it
I don't know.
Might have been Lana.
Oh, that could be.
Lana Rosario.
Yeah, she was in it.
Yeah. I'm trying to... one of the other people had done things and was helping.
I don't think so.
But I don't remember. Water.
Yeah. Was also in a human combat chess, and so I basically getting punched in everything that I was in. I'm coming to realize that is my
maybe punchy. You are typecast. It's just being punchable.
I mean,
oh yeah, that sounds appropriate.
I could see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a constant level, a constant things, which have been great. You know, like I said, I. Like I said, when I did this whole weird life reboot thing, I also, like, I went to tons of things before I started auditioning for things. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in theater and whatnot, like, in college and a little bit after college, but then I kind of gave it up when I went to grad school and just kind of was overworking and other stuff going on. And as I went to all these shows, I really was saying to myself, you know, there's like a missing demographic of, like, Where's the tall blonde guy in this show?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like there's something,
it's just
a niche I could go for, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're hitting it.
I'm hitting it. Yeah. Let's see, what else do I got to report?
By the way, directing you in Fearless Vibe was nice. It was good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You take direction well.
Choreographing you in Klingon was acceptable.
That's high fucking praise from
her. Me.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was some good, again, being punched and taking
goddamn
a fall.
Goddamn Barbara.
Yeah.
That was so good.
That was massive.
Holy shit.
That's it. I'm never gonna top it.
That was a big year. I believe that that year, Klingon Christmas Carol, didn't they have the most fights that they've ever had? And
yep, because we added some fights. We also, it was the most fighters at the same time.
Oh, sure.
On the stage. Because we had, I think it was 16, if I remember. 16 or 18,
right.
Somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a hell of a thing. What was that experience like for you? Just the bar brawl.
Just the bar brawl. I mean, it's funny because, well... Boy, fighting on stage can just be so exhausting fast, you know, and maybe somewhere to think if you're acting through it, you're not actually getting punched, it's less, but you know, to time everything perfectly and to try to get through that. But man, yeah, that big group, and let's see, they did a thing with Garrick and Matt and I, just like doing all this shtick together where we're buddies, but then we get in a fight, and boy... it's tough to describe that. It was pure madness because so much was choreographed and so many people interacting. It's like, okay, well, you have to punch this person, but then you have to be over here in time for this person to kick you, and then you're gonna fall and hit this person exactly right, and they're gonna, like a domino, hit these three other people who are then activated, and they all get into the fight. You know what I mean? Like everything is very concise, and so many different moving parts. And I don't think it ever actually went wrong. Like you would expect, you know, like any kind of theater or whatever, you would expect, I know, right? You'd expect one night to like, oh, I twisted my ankle and I couldn't get there fast or something.
I accidentally threw the sword into the audience.
Well, and I think didn't someone like break their foot one year in Klingon Christmas Carol? Not
on my watch.
Not on your watch. but I don't think it ever went askew, you know?
That is good.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a crazy fun time. Mm. But yeah, it's been a year of lots of stuff. Yes.
You also did the mystery show a year ago, the Fall Workshop show. What was it that you got pulled into last minute for Frankenstein?
Oh, yeah. That's another one.
The one that Salsa was talking about.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep
Salsa
track
might,
of you.
Might know a thing or two about that one.
So you've worked with all of us in various capacities over the past year.
Yeah, Salsa had a major amount of makeup. The process watching him, I could only describe it as maybe it would feel like being buried alive.
Mummified.
That's the...
you son of
I'll see my way
metaphorically.
That's an interesting way. I don't know if I would call it buried alive, but definitely... I guess maybe a little bit, yeah, because you are kind of layered under as time goes on.
Yeah, and I had a lot of makeup too, but nothing near what you had.
Yeah,
you just had
like color and a couple spots here and there.
Mm-hmm. I was Frankenstein, listeners, and again typecast. They were like, we need a tall. There's no one else.
Mm-hmm. Does this actor come in tall?
Well, I say there was no one else. There was like a number of people before me who had not worked out or something. So that was another kind of last minute brought in.
It was that was a sore point for that production. We had the first person who was originally hired, by the time they were offered the role, had found something else, and then the next person in line they got to agree to it, like something else came up, and then like another person they talked to him and they just weren't able to do it, and it just slowly.
It was like a series of unfortunate events.
Yeah. It was, which is that's
like
my business.
All of them would have been great fits, but just scheduling things came up, and you know they didn't.
Thankfully,
get the part
we got
the first
to see
time
you
around, and so
as
they
the monster
hired somewhere else. And,
you're often typecast as the person who will pick up and carry other actors as well, I've noticed.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. The audition for The Last Thing, very specifically, Jake and Garrick were like, can you pick someone up for us? I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, it depends, but mostly, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the time, yeah.
That's another thing. I get punched in just about everything I'm in, and I pick someone up at some juncture.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you didn't get punched or pick anyone up in the show I did with you.
I picked Allison up.
Yep.
Yes.
That's right, you did.
And she punched me. And she punched me, but it was offstage.
So. Which also, when you ended up working with Allison in my show, and there was like a physical interaction where your character got too close to her character, and we were like, all right, this is a thing that we have to figure out, and... you two have worked together on this kind of stuff before. Okay. So you're going to need to establish boundaries and, you know, those kinds of things. And it made it substantially easier to direct. Even though we said, you know, without an intimacy choreographer, that the near miss was way better and more appropriate. It was still nice.
Hmm. Yeah, that's the other kind of strange thing of doing so much, is that you're meeting so many people and working with them, and then afterward you kind of all develop a bit of a bond, like you've been in the trenches together. I imagine Renfest must be similar, where it's you know,
very
we've been through this
trenches.
Together.
Yeah.
Literally in trenches together. And so you all have bonded, and you've been through a lot, and it's just it's just a different type of friendship, you know, in lots of ways.
You know, we are looking for somebody tall at the fencing booth.
Oh, yes.
I mean...
Who can explain to Jenna
what it's like to be tall? Like.
What it's like to be tall, yeah.
Well, let me tell you.
Or to fight somebody taller.
Yeah.
I think actually we should be calling this short-splaining, not tall-splaining.
Yes. Yeah, that's short-splaining.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Height-splaining?
Height-splaining?
Yeah.
Height-splaining.
Height-splaining.
The height of privilege.
I had it wrong the first time.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, if you want to come work out at the booth for just a couple of days or something,
that'd be a hoot.
You would
enjoy the fuck out of yourself.
Yeah.
Plus, you'd get to hit people with swords.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
God.
Balloons with swords.
Yeah, I'm in.
Balloons? And sometimes people. Mm.
Oh, okay. I mean...
It does get...
Yeah.
People are...
Yeah.
If you happen to hit a person in pursuit of a balloon...
I mean, are we all just kind of, you know, meat balloons?
I often remind people that their hands will pop if they're struck, but that it's way grosser than if it happens to the balloons.
I was going to say a thing and I forgot. God damn it, that's annoying.
But yeah, so being in the trenches together and
fencing
meeting
booth?
So many people, it's really interesting.
Fencing booth. Oh, getting hit. As an aside, it's really funny as a short person to be fighting taller people.
Yep.
And then having them, like, hit your mask and apologize. I'm just like, buddy, that's going to happen. Just chill the fuck out.
I signed the waiver same as you did.
Yeah. Like. I don't know why I'm the exception here. I've been hitting you in the mask, like, repeatedly. What?
Yeah, but you're a bully, so.
Well, yeah.
Well, I like fake fighting. I like fake fighting short people because it's a lot of fun because, you know, you get to reverse expectations and
oh my
have
God.
A lot of fun, you know?
Yeah, like the you smaller, and Angela. The
better. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Watching Angela fight you three tall guys was just delightful. Pleased me.
Yeah, she took on myself and Garrick and Matt.
You know? Yeah.
Well, and everybody else, I guess.
And was, everybody. She beat up everybody, and it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, what else is going on? So yeah, just Ville, regular Ville stuff, yeah.
You were talking about something that you wanted to get into. A skill that you wanted to acquire.
Oh.
Flex.
Flex. Singing, which my wife Heather is very into karaoke and singing.
Oh, yeah.
But it's been one of those things... I kind of have this perfectionist self-defeating thing where, well,
tell me what it's like.
Ha! If you can't do something perfectly, don't do it at all. And so I've never sang just like even just to myself. Just
in the shower.
No.
Oh.
No, because every time it would start, it would sound bad, and I would just say to myself, "I don't want to hear that. That sounds terrible."
Hmm.
There's other great singers all over the place, and so I will listen to them. And but I have pushed myself in lots of different areas with different amounts of success, and it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you're gonna fall flat on your face sometimes when you try things for about a week ago, after promising her ever since our wedding day, we had a big karaoke party.
Which was a fucking blast, by the way.
Yay! Yes. But it was, I had promised her I was going to try, and there's been lots of things going on, which are, of course, lots of excuses. And so I decided that I just needed to go forward. So we have some karaoke games for the home computer system that will help you with tones and things.
Nice.
Yeah. Rock Band.
Stuff like that. I forget what they're called, but it's like that. Mm-hmm. She purchased them.
Smule?
Well, that sounds like a goblin-y creature's name.
It's like Karaoke Revolution or something.
Or Samuel.
Sure. I mean, that also.
Like in Sailor.
I had a post on Facebook asking people, and a ton of people chimed in with lots of great, just very kind advice. And
sure.
So I will endeavor to do that.
My biggest advice, find a singer within your range and work on those songs first, just to figure out where you're at. And then you can kind of push yourself a little bit, but find that one singer that's like super comfortable.
That's during our road trip. Heather and I were listening to lots of different stuff, and it seemed like that's the other thing too. Is like I like music, but I never paid specific attention to bands or even like song lyrics.
Right.
But it seemed like Pearl Jam seemed to be the jam that was working.
Nice. Learn lots of Pearl Jam.
I don't know my range, but
yeah, try that. Ooh,
yeah.
That's why I sing so much Alanis Morissette.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one of the new projects.
I think that's a fantastic project to have. I think that speaks to your membership in Fearless.
Ha!
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, that's
taking risks.
Part of the reason I joined Fearless was they were so supportive in just trying out so many things. Just like
those jerks.
Well. Basically, yeah. But think of the open improv where we met. Like, I had literally never tried improv, didn't know any of the rules, didn't know anything, and I just showed up and people threw me in and just tried it, and I got way more laughs than I ever thought I would, and I was, started taking classes right then, and mm-hmm. I've gone through the classes at Brave New Workshop and a Huge, and now I'm finishing Comedy Sports, and Comedy Sports has been really good because they focus on the basically the things that Bill does, the short form, double blind mm-hmm. improv also, right? So it's like really good
yeah.
practice for that.
Right.
And then when I'm done, you know, like maybe try to reboot the. For listeners, how long has it been since the open improv has stopped?
I want to say about roughly a year and a half to 2 years.
Yeah, a year and a half to 2 years.
Yeah. Somewhere.
Yeah.
So maybe when this class wraps up, maybe my wife and I will look into restarting it and seeing who wants to join in. And
improv karaoke jam.
Oh, she would love that.
Oh, God.
Of course, you know, didn't Eric do an improv singing show at Fringe?
Yes, yes.
So that is a thing. That's another reason why I decided to try figuring out this whole singing thing, because there are so many things that involve singing that mm-hmm. that... It like double blind improv. They'll be like, okay, well, we're going to do this thing that involves singing every single time. I'm like, well, I'm out because I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, well, I got to stop sitting out on things in my life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fully support that. Mm-hmm. I think yep. that's amazing.
Look,
yeah.
if I can sit in a chair and have people make me do accents, you can go sing.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, man.
Is accent day.
Is accent day.
Is accent day.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that's about the extent
yeah.
of it.
Oh, yeah, Jesus, it's accent day.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Oh, oh my.
Oh, oh for geez. Sure.
Oh, oh, dear.
Speaking of which, if you ever get the opportunity to ask Bryn Berry Hill to do her French laugh.
Oh. Is it like,
yes, but better.
Oh, I'm sure.
But, you know, from somebody half your size.
Oh, certainly.
And female.
No, I
couldn't. Oh, my God.
That was terrible. Surprisingly pretty good. Yeah. It's not anything like that, but yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Should we take a break?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
I'm still Dave.
Woo!
Yay!
And this is the portion of the show where we say things.
Things and stuff?
I forgot what we did.
I don't know. Do we want to do a shout out? Do we want to do a
the
fast
outro?
Five?
What?
Let's do a shout out first.
The outro?
Shout out.
Okay.
I'll start. I already talked about the amazingness of Joe, so he can go take a flying leap. I want to give a shout out to the Boothies.
Yeah.
And all of the hard work that goes into running not just one, but two tournaments. And like during Squires, I got to watch them just do their thing because I wasn't involved. And it was the first opportunity I had to watch tourney being run. And I was like, holy shit, there's a lot that goes on. There's lighting, there's keeping tabs on the fighters, there's keeping tabs on the bracket, there's fight gear and check-ins and, bloody hell. Like, there's just so much that goes into it. And it's not like they do this for the money. they do this for the love of doing this and for... and it is so appreciated so much, and they're just such sweet, wonderful people. And I extra love my favorite part is that they do have a sportsmanship award, and and it is not about the winning.
Yeah,
it is about the winning, but it is not about the winning. It is about having fun, having a good time, being, and I just, I absolutely love everything about that environment and atmosphere, and they provide all of that on top of running anything else. Yeah. So, shout out to the Boothies.
I like it.
Yay.
I've got mine. Of the Boothies, for the Boothies, by the Boothies, Mav, listener and sometimes guest and often writer in to to the podcast, has former owner of the booth also with his wife Ro, the lovely Ro.
Oh yes,
he made the booth what it is. As far as I'm concerned, along with many of the people who are still there, and even in passing its ownership on to someone else, what we are doing now is modeled on the booth that he helped to build. So, and he's still helping it. Like, he was there on Saturday, giving advice and pointers and helping us to ringmaster the bouts and boothing.
Real work of passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he does it because he loves it. And it is destroying us all physically, but it is...
I wouldn't know what that's like.
I would... I am making this exchange gladly. And I am glad for what he has given to it as well.
I'm going to give my shout out to chairs and any surface that makes me not be on my feet.
Oh, fuck. Oh, that's so good.
That really is. That is really fucking fantastic.
I think possibly most specifically my mattress, but I think just chairs in general.
Ooh, yeah.
Because, fuck. My feet were literally bleeding by Monday night.
Oh, my God.
I had a bit of a blister forming on one foot that popped. Yeah, it was a rough weekend, and everything hurts. Because much for the same reasons that James was just talking about, that the fencing booth is, we, you know, when you're out there entertaining people, your body comes second.
Yeah,
it really does. And like, I woke up, as you know, after being in the body puppet for 45 minutes on Saturday night, like, while I was out there, it was just adrenaline and I was having a fantastic time. And then I got to the campground and I fell asleep before quiet time. And then my wife had a hard time waking me up the next day. Mm. And then I took a nap midway through Sunday. I was
body puppet hangover,
fucking wiped out. Mm-hmm. But you know, showtime comes, you get on stage, you do it. Monday rolled around, and I was actually kind of hoping that we were going to get some rain so I could cancel a show or something. And then in the morning, they're like, "No rain today, yay!" And I'm like, and then I'm doing about to do my 1:30 show, and I'm like, "This is a 4 o'clock show, right?" No, it's the one.
Oh, God.
Fuck. Yeah, I was just done. So, yeah, any surface that makes me not be on my feet right now is a welcome. Is a welcome surface.
Hell yeah.
All right, do I get a shout out?
Yep.
Yeah, you can if you want to.
Yeah. Shout out to everyone who came to, who was involved in my friend's show, because it was a show that had a lot of emotional ups and downs, and a lot of people who were in it or people who came to it didn't know necessarily kind of what they were in for, because it was about death and also life, but like life and death, like it was serious stuff with a couple jokes here and there, but like a lot of serious stuff. And I just want to shout out an appreciation to everyone involved in it.
All right,
it was real good.
Kick ass.
In that case, how about a Fast Five?
Fast Five!
So today's Fast Five is actually the most recent one that I got, but
Wait, how does Fast Five work?
For those that do not know how this works, Fast Five works like this. You, that's right, you, the dear listener, send us 5 choices. We don't know what these choices mean. We only know that we have to make the choice. And it's only after we have made all of our choices, we open up the second email that you have sent us and find out what the context is of those choices. Today's comes to us is the most recent Fast Five that we got.
Sure.
But for reasons which will become immediately clear, I am bumping it up to the front of the queue.
Fuck.
And it is from Mav.
Oh, shit.
Who? I'll just read it.
Okay.
So there I was, listening to the podcast, and I hear Salsa ask for more Fast Fives. But it was weird. Something was different. Slightly off, and definitely outside the norm. It seems the rules have changed slightly on how to submit.
I fucking
Those who know
it.
Me might say I am definitely one for following rules to the T. And taking direction as though I wrote them myself. Those who know me really well would probably have them committed to thinking such things. But that is a conversation for another time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
One thing I know they would all agree on is that I will not hesitate for a single second to be as accommodating as possible when a request like this is made. Being it has been a while since my last Fast Five, I decided now would be an excellent time to do just that. I have the time, and I can test out this new submission policy in the process.
Jesus
So
Christ.
Here it is, all 10 emails order for your entertainment.
So I'm going to get you caught up on this. The way Fast Five works is, you know, listeners will submit 2 emails, one with the choices, that we read through first and make the guesses, and then the second one with the context to find out how
with
we did on our
and
choices.
The context, yeah.
Last week, Salsa misspoke.
Rather badly.
Yeah. Send 5 emails with the choices.
Oh.
And we may have given him a hard time about that. And now Mav is helpful.
Understandably following up.
He's helping.
On the request that was made.
Yes.
He is following exactly what I said.
So now you are caught up.
Email 1. Skirt or blouse?
Oh, God. I don't like
I
either
look
of those.
More fetching in a skirt than a blouse.
I would agree with that. I feel like a blouse really... I don't like either. I think you have more variety with a skirt, so I'm going skirt.
When I wear a kilt, I think my calves look really nice.
Do you wear high boots or do you wear shoes?
I usually wear shoes. Mm. So I think I'd go with a skirt.
Okay.
Also, Colin fought in a skirt.
Yeah.
And they did rather well and are like really selling me on this skirt idea. So, yeah.
They can be pretty comfy, but yeah. I personally feel better in pants, but I understand the appeal of wearing skirts.
One of the reasons that I'm super into the idea of like big Hakama pants.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
When I'm in the house, I wear sarongs and things like that. So
oh,
skirts,
sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. They're so comfy. Yeah.
I'm going to say blouse, just because I think if I wore a blouse, I would look vampire-y.
Oh. Shit.
You could for Halloween, you could totally do one of the vampires from What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah.
Slowly laying down newspaper on the couch as you discuss somebody's plans for college.
I mean, if we want to guess context, my guess would be, which do you think more epitomizes a feminine concept? And I would say skirt. But.
Yeah, I suppose because on the bathroom symbol.
Yeah.
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 All right. Email 2.
It's so fucking good.
Beavis and Butthead.
Uh-huh.
Or Pinky in the Brain.
Pinky in the Brain.
Pinky in the Brain.
Yeah, Pinky in the Brain.
Pinky in the Brain.
I never also was a big Beavis and Butthead fan.
The thing is, like, Mike Judge has created some really amazing stuff. Office Space and King of the Hill and Zombieland, among them.
I agree with two of those.
But I didn't really... I mean, Beavis and Butthead was a cultural phenomenon, and I was aware of it, and I liked the Beavis and Butthead movie, but I didn't have cable, so I didn't get to
Pinky in the Brain.
Get into
it. Yeah, I mean, I think growing up in that particular time period, well, being a teenager near adult in that particular time period, I watched both.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed Pinky and the Brain more.
Mm.
There were a few bits and pieces here and there that I found quotable from Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
When they're in being yelled at by the teacher to try to speak Spanish. And they just start listing things off of, like, Taco Bell menu.
Mm-hmm.
was amusing. And then, like, at one point, I think it was Beavis that said spaghetti. I was just like, okay, these guys are morons. And there were certain things that were enjoyable. But, I mean, there is really no other option. Like, which one's the best? Pinky in the Brain. Hands down.
Yeah, I think Beavis and Butthead really just peaked with the short that they started out with that was in the Spike and Mike's Twisted Film Festival. That used to be a thing before the internet when you'd have to go and find things
frog
to watch.
Baseball or something.
Yeah. That was like their peak, and it was still like just okay.
Huh.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion.
Yeah.
For me, it was when they open up the trunk of their kidnapper's car and they're talking about jumping out, and I think it was Butthead was probably like, I don't think we should do this because... like, that ground had been moving really fast. Because the car was in motion.
Right.
Yeah. Like, that's fucking funny to me.
Yeah.
And there were things that, like, really fucking got me. But, I don't know.
Even their contemporaries, like, Daria was...
Daria, I love...
Oh, God, Daria was
Daria
so fucking
Mission
good.
Hill.
Yeah, like Daria... even the contemporaries of Beavis and Butthead, I thought were better.
Oh, God, yes. Daria is my Patronus.
Yeah. I think this is
massive.
My teenage Patronus.
Yeah. I think we all agree on this one.
Me too.
All right. Email number three. Weird or crazy?
¿Por qué no los dos?
Weird? Because I think crazy is kind of an offensive thing.
I feel like it's a
little
offensive.
Yeah.
Really?
No,
you think
I think
weird is offensive?
I think they both have offensive connotations in some respects and not in others.
To me, crazy is shaming of mental illness in a way. And
exactly.
Weird doesn't feel like it is, unless I don't understand.
Weird feels to me like the way you pick on somebody who doesn't fit in. Like,
right.
He's the weird kid.
But it's also like how my friend group strove to be in high school. Like, we wanted to be weird.
I feel people have embraced it, just like the word queer has been kind of like, we're gonna take that word away from you and we're gonna use it ourselves.
Thank you, Weird Al.
It hasn't happened with crazy.
I think there's a lot more misconception that happens around the word crazy.
That's fair.
There's a lot more, you know, aw, bitches be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Which gets conflated with mental illness. And I think that one is more damaging.
Yeah.
To people being able to come out for any help that they need, or to be actually, you know, like, it can be very dismissive of somebody else in their action.
Yeah.
Saying that it's crazy. Weird can be rejection and hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there is a lot of you know, reclaiming the word. But it's I don't think it affects the more mental health aspects as much. And I think it's more damaging in that
me
way.
Me personally, the one that damaged me a lot more in school was weird.
Hmm.
Sure.
I think for me, I'm going to choose weird, because if it's a question of like which is more appropriate, I would choose weird. I think a lot of basic dudes who have bad behavior are able to write off other people's distaste for their bad behavior by saying that that person is crazy. Like, especially ex-girlfriends.
Yep.
When I meet someone who's like, oh, yeah, no, this ex is crazy, and that ex is crazy, and she's crazy, and I'm like, I'm wondering if that's the case.
If you've got seven different crazy exes, maybe you need to take a look at you. Like, there's one common denominator there.
Mm-hmm. I do, just to flip it around, though, again, going back to my high school experience, you know, when a bunch of guys are hanging out and they say, man, you're crazy, you know, that's a good thing. Like, you're the guy who's willing to do all the stuff that, you know, is, you know, jumping off of doing dumb college things, you know, like that's a positive, whereas weird is like the one that we shun.
I mean, Weird Science, Weird Al Yankovic.
Right.
Oh, Weird Al.
Keep Portland weird.
Again, this is just, which is more damaging to me when I was into teenager?
Sure.
Definitely weird. Alright.
You grew up in a farm town.
Yeah.
I want to say
that was the most damaging part.
Not to be dismissive of you.
Email number 4.
Yeah.
Solo or team? Take a wild fucking guess what I'm gonna say here.
Team?
You have failed miserably.
You said a wild guess, true. I believe that guess was incredibly wild.
Extremely wild, you're right.
Perhaps even weird.
There is no salsa in team.
No.
Yeah, there's no you in team.
No.
I'll say team for obvious and personal reasons.
For you reason, yeah. I once had somebody describe me as a person that had a consistent struggle with wanting to work independently and wanting to work with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I fucking loved that description. Yeah, this is a real hard one for me. But I think I'm going to go solo.
Okay.
Where do I feel more confident in what I'm doing? Usually it's a solo thing.
Oh, for me it's just the opposite. I feel more confident when I have a team, like going and doing shit out on the street.
I have nobody else dependent on me, and I am not dependent on other people. So whatever I'm producing is something I can schedule. Mm. It's something that I have control of.
That's fair. Well, and you're Nettie this year. You're solo street.
I am solo street this year.
Whereas I really only want to do street team.
Yeah.
Working with Kyle is fucking fantastic. Yeah. And I find that he and I play off of each other way better than I would think that I'd do by myself.
Jesus Christ, when the two of you came down. Yeah. Fucking side note. They opened Queensgate for a couple of times this weekend. And I went down there end of day to make sure that there was entertainment down there. And then about 5 minutes after me come these two fucking assholes telling their dad jokes and their puns and their whatnot.
Yeah.
And then the mosquitoes actually came to my rescue for once. So that was nice.
And drove us away.
Because they just kept... Well, yeah. Mosquitoes kept attacking Kyle. As a redhead, that's like an actual thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm going to say Solo, just because of Han Solo, who ironically was always on a team.
With Chewbacca, yeah.
Yeah. Way to circumvent that one. Boom. Well done.
Fair enough. All
right. Email number 5.
God.
I can't even
Freedom.
Okay.
Or structured. I'm going to go freedom on this one.
I'm probably going structured.
I feel like that's probably what I would have guessed for you, too.
Well, the problem is that it depends on the structure. If it's a shitty structure, I'm tearing the damn thing down.
Yeah, right.
But then I'll probably rebuild the structure in a way that makes sense. So,
and I feel like I need a loose framework, but I want a lot of freedom to move within.
However, if we're talking about Fest this year...
Freedom.
I got fucking zip all, yo. Mm-hmm. I have my shift in the campground. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah. Whole lot of freedom to do whatever.
Well, there's that.
Well, yeah. We're all doing it.
Yes.
I'm going to talk to Dan.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. So there's that. And
Apropuppet.
Apropuppet of nothing.
Yes.
So, I think I would choose structured because I tend to like creating structures. I like making order out of chaotic things.
Like a water closet?
Like a water closet.
Yeah.
Or a fart cupboard. Or I like inventing games with rules that, you know, make something out of nothing. Mm. Yeah. That make the ordinary thing stupid and fun. I like that. So I think I would choose that.
All right.
I find myself more productive with structure, although it has to be usually a structure that I have mostly made. So it weirdly mixes freedom and structure. But if I'm just too willy-nilly, I tend to just don't get things done, and I'm more in the idea phase of things that never ends. Because if you're just in the idea phase of something, you haven't failed.
There is.
I mean, you have. You've failed to execute it.
This is true, but
if your only goal is ideas,
yes,
I suppose
you can convince yourself for a long time, and I've done that. Procrastinating, you convince yourself for a long time that your many ideas are brilliant and could work and may eventually work.
Because they'll always be 100% and golden in your head, but when you make them, the best that it will ever be is like 80% of what you wanted. Yeah.
Or you could fail on your first step, but you got to take your first step.
Yeah.
All right. Email number 6.
Jesus Christ.
Skirt
or bloody blouse. Mindedness of it is amazing.
Let's imagine for a moment, if you will, James decides shaving his beard is simply not enough.
Okay.
Let's say he swears a wardrobe change is just the thing he needs to complete the new look. Would you rather see him wearing a very risque skirt or a very low-cut blouse?
Low-cut blouse.
Even with your amazing calves?
Even so. I'm changing my head. Because it's not just... It's not like a knee-length thing anymore. And I'm like...
You're thinking full silhouette?
I'm weirdly modest about my business.
I'm actually going to switch to blouse here. I think him with a low-cut blouse and that hair, he could do a Fabio thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think
yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm thinking like romance novel cover. Yeah.
That's a real good call. Yeah.
I mean, it's functionally what I wear out at Fest. Is I wear like piratey or poety shirts that have that deep V. Yeah.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
I gotta switch.
I also have to switch to blouse.
All right.
Blouse, weather permitting, you could also, you know, if it's warm or cold, whereas a skirt, you can't really...
That's true. Well, I could wear leggings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, hold on. Because I've dressed as Link before, and Link wears a tunic, which is functionally a regular shirt with a little skirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't even factor in, like, tights. I guess I'm switching back. I mean, the blouse idea is fine.
I'm going with the blouse.
Yeah, I think I might...
With blouse.
I might go with little skirt.
Right. Email 7. Beavis and Butthead or Pinky and the Brain? Have you ever been in the same room... at the same time with both James and Cole? I have. Besides the fact that it is strangely entertaining, it can be conversationally unpredictable and even oddly dangerous to one's mental well-being. Do you think James and Cole together more closely resemble Beavis and Butthead or Pinky and the Brain?
Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah.
James?
The problem is, how can you have two pinkies?
Well,
I mean, when you look at your hands, right, sure.
Kay.
Okay. Visual jokes on an audio podcast.
TM Peggy Schmidt. No, I'm going to say Cole probably comes up with more of the stupid shit.
Hmm.
And you're walking around in a tutu. So,
I mean, he's definitely... Yeah. He's definitely making championing extra fun this year.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Okay.
But Cole also does plenty of his own stupid shit.
Oh, no, he does.
Comedy demands.
But what I'm saying, though, is James is much more likely to go along with somebody.
Mm-hmm, right.
And I feel like Cole just has way more experience coming up with stupid shit to do. So I definitely think there's more of a Pinky in the Brain dynamic.
Hmm.
I see where... I think you've sold me. I think you've sold me on
also,
that.
Also, comparing Pinky in the Brain to Beavis and Butthead, Beavis and Butthead were just stupid commentary and didn't really do or initiate...
True.
They were just subjects of the world around them.
They were observers, yeah.
Whereas Pinky and the Brain were doers.
Active, yeah. No.
Regardless of Pinky's intent, Pinky was very active.
Yeah, no, you have completely sold me.
I'm going to go too. Pinky and the Brain on that.
Yeah, I think double Pinkies.
Double Pinkies.
Pinkies out.
Pinkies up. Yes. Oh God.
Oh, that old chestnut.
Oh, we need to stop hanging out.
Email 8.
Yes.
Weird or crazy?
All right.
Riga. That is quite literally the context.
Fuck. Oh yeah. Oh.
Fuck. Poor Kane almost does.
I think he's far too calculated to be crazy.
Oh, you can be crazy.
You can be crazy. God. No, that motherfucker would be straight up crazy.
like compulsive? Ooh, maybe.
He's not really weird, though. He's just...
He's weird.
No, he... But like... No, he's
a crazy motherfucker. Weird.
I have qualms.
Okay, he's not weird to me.
Okay. Question, though.
I stick swords down my throat, though, so my baseline is not...
Yeah. Follow-up question. Isn't he? Okay. All right. But isn't he...
You make a compelling argument.
Okay, good. All right.
I would
really a porcano.
Being unwilling to give a mental health diagnosis to Riga for various reasons.
Sure.
I think I'm just going to go with weird.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with weird because around the booth he fits right the fuck in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is a 50-50 split, but it is like 50.0000001 on the weird side. So I'll go with that.
Yeah,
so,
mine's just a technicality of not having the correct certifications.
So. Yeah.
I'll defer to your expertise.
Hmm.
Email 9.
God, this is dumb.
Fuck.
Yeah.
And you have had to just open each one of these individually.
Yes, I have.
And I am so pleased, but not nearly as pleased as Mav is.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
No, he is laughing his fucking ass off. Right
as
now.
He should be.
Solo or team?
Yeah.
Do you prefer comedy duos / groups / teams, such as Laurel and Hardy or the Three Stooges, or do you prefer solo comedians like Jim Gaffigan or Eddie Murphy?
Fuck.
Teams like Monty Python or Kids in the Hall, like you can't beat these different teams.
Like,
you can because there you have Buster Keaton out there.
Mm.
But the Marx Brothers.
Hmm. No, don't get me wrong.
I understand.
Don't get me wrong. Monty Python, Marx Brothers, Laurel and
Buster
Hardy.
Buster Keaton is a very good argument.
There's a lot of really funny teams out there. Don't get me wrong.
Eddie Izzard.
But
yeah, oh god,
Eddie Izzard, Buster Keaton, yes. Jim Gaffigan.
Okay. Tim Vine. Pen Behind the Ear.
Yeah.
Behind the ear.
What's
pen behind the ear? Pen
what do you even say? Buster Keaton had a team of people that he worked with.
Who was the Ratatouille guy?
Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt, you know, like
George Carlin.
Yeah. I'm gonna say when I am looking for comedy, like on YouTube or whatever, I have a tendency to go towards solo stand up rather than sketch. Only slightly. Because a lot of times what I'm looking for is something that I can have going without having to watch. And if there's more people, I feel like I have to watch it closer.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to go solo, but just barely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not to disparage groups, because there are
amazing
fucking groups out there, but solo is good. Yeah.
I've got to go with groups, because no matter... I think this goes back to the Kyle thing where, like, I don't think I would have ever tried street comedy if it weren't for Kyle. Mm-hmm.
And you're still trying to this day.
Extremely trying, I know. and the way that the booth functions, even as a ringmaster or as a champion, that is a group effort.
Sure.
That is a group show. Vill is a group show. Mm-hmm. Penn and Teller are a group. Yeah. They're a team. Mm-hmm.
Should really just be Teller, but that's fine. Right.
I think I'm going to go with team, because if it is a functioning team, you get the strengths of each member, and they assist to hopefully fill in the gaps where that would ordinarily be weaknesses.
Sure.
Dave,
I'm going to stick with team, because to stick on your example of how people help each other out, if you look at like Monty Python, a big part of their writing process was each other telling each other if their ideas were bad. And if they hadn't had that help, their solo stuff would have included a lot of I thought this was funny and no one else does stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't have made Villa without my coaches.
Aww.
Well, I mean, that's honestly like the writers room to Saturday Night Live and The Onion, for example, work that same way. Is everybody gets in a room and says their idea, and if nobody laughs, they just cross it out.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, that was how Conan O'Brien got his gig.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know. I have a ton of respect for those teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I just prefer listening to solo.
Sure. Agreed. That's fair.
Only slightly, but still preferred.
Yeah.
All right. Email 10. You motherfucker. Freedom or structure?
It's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Do you prefer the freedom of random content, like what you find in Vilification Tennis?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you prefer the more structured approach, like reading from a script for a play?
To what end?
Oh, doesn't like, say.
I'm much more comfortable with improv. I've acted, I can act, but I'm much more comfortable with improv, because then the words are mine. When I'm in a play, the first thing I do is, when I'm reading a script and saying the lines of a script, is I inevitably change things. How things are said, because it's not me, you know. I tend to say the same sentence in my own way, because I feel like I'm
trapped in those words that are being said, whereas I like the freedom of doing improv or vilification tennis or something like that, where I'm whatever comes out is me.
I would have to go scripted. I can't memorize anymore. So I'm probably never going to do memorized scripted work again. However, I can still do storytelling. And what I love about doing that is, I mean, yes, I'm reading from a piece of paper, but I know what the words are, and I know I have the time and ability to work with my inflection and to figure out which piece is going where, and to how I'm going to deliver what kind of pause, how I'm going to drive home various points. And I love knowing what I'm going to say so that I can hit those points.
I'm just thinking about my show that I do every day at, at the Renaissance Festival. That is a scripted thing. That is a script that I have written. I am fucking bored with it. Like, it is polished to within an inch of its life, and it works. But, man, I have to say it, you know, six times a day.
Oh, sure.
I hate doing that.
Oh, see, and I'm fine with that. If I have different audiences, hopefully what I've done is built something that I want to give to more people. So, for me, that's my
angle.
And I do
find myself, you know, trying different, you know, different pauses and different inflections just to see what triggers better and stuff like that. But, but halfway through the show, I will sometimes discover that I haven't been paying attention because my mouth is just...
I don't think I've ever done that.
I've done that show so many times now.
If I am performing some, like, a scripted piece, I am... consistently anxious over what it
is.
Well,
I mean,
I'm
this
doing.
This was also Monday, so I was really fucking
tired. That's fair. I can believe that.
There's a difference.
But there was a few moments of autopilot there where I was just like, I was going through my script and I was no longer engaged in it.
And
I feel like I don't have that with improv.
You can't.
So.
No.
Yeah. Dave?
And this is what you prefer to do?
Wasn't overly clarified.
Do you prefer the freedom of random content, or do you prefer the more structured approach?
I would say I prefer structure then, because I like something that's been then worked on and has... don't get me wrong, improv and stuff is great, but...
Oh, it's fine.
Well,
it's
all right. Let's admit, though, when you're
friends who do improv,
it's fine.
If you're seeing an improv show, you'll give it a little bit more leeway because, you know, these people are trying to make it up right now. Whereas scripted, like, you know it's going to be better because it's someone, well, hopefully someone has worked on it a lot.
Salsa.
I think I'm going to choose scripted for two reasons.
Okay.
The first being that I appreciate when I do stand up and things like that, I appreciate going over it again and again and honing it like that.
Right.
And then the other reason is when I'm listening to music at work, I rely on good algorithms to provide me similar content rather than just having it play something completely at random.
Okay.
Like that could seriously fuck up my day. It could change the mood. It could distract me. It could do whatever. Where having it play what I expect, even if it is kind of at random, it's still very important.
Yeah.
All right. Mav finishes this out by saying, "So this is the new process."
Jesus.
I have to be honest, the previous method was far easier. Two emails is definitely faster and considerably less complex than five emails for the questions and five for the context. But I don't make the rules, so 10 it is.
Oh, God.
Stay safe and warm/cool at Fest. Hope to see you all soon. Till next time, your friendly neighborhood Mav. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, send two
emails to salsa at aonpodcast.com. The first email should include nothing but five questions.
Well, they can give a little
and the second one should repeat those and then give the context. That's how we're doing this, Mav.
Oh, so he had a good idea.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Mav, that's a solid plan.
That is a plan. We should, yeah. God.
You guys are really willy-nilly about your rules, just back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah, make up your fucking mind, Salsa.
Does anybody have anything to plug?
Oh, God. I'll be out at Fest. Catch me at the fencing booth in the mornings. Catch me out on the street doing dad jokes and pun battles with my comedy partner, Kyle.
Yep. I will once again be located in the campground between the hours of 12:30 to 11:00.
If you are a frog.
Yeah, oh, God.
Yeah. Visit Jenna in the showers.
Anyway.
11, 1:30, 4 o'clock at Sherwood Stage, and the 2 o'clock Feast Fantasy, Pig and Swig, and Off the Vine Wine Tasting.
Go see Action Movie the Play in November. I know that's a long time away. But yeah, that's fine. And then go see Vilification whenever it is.
All right. That's fair.
All right, well, that is our show. Thank you so very, very much for listening to this show. Thank you to our special guest.
Yay! Yeah!
Woo! Thank you to Mav for sending in...
for having that really good idea to bring it back to two emails.
Such a good idea.
Yeah.
Why didn't we think of that?
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, thank you for listening. Eat the fucking cake.
Bye. I love you. Bye.
Bye.
Take it away, Salsa.
Cha.
Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.